Amen. Would you thank ushers. Pastor Dennis? Go ahead, ushers. Hey, make sure they give you candy, huh? Make sure, because I got to make sure you get a piece of candy. Just to make sure that the ushers didn't eat it all themselves before it got to you. Okay? So if you didn't get a piece of candy, check the ushers. Check their pockets. And if they did take it, it's going to end up in the dryer and they're going to get their bachi. Yeah. All right. Good morning, New Hope. Oh, isn't it so nice? It's cooling off. You don't have to sleep with the fan on. You can use your blanket. I just love this time of year. And turkeys are on sale already. How many of you ate your first turkey already? You know, I'm a little bit behind. I didn't get to eat mine yet. I'm slacking. Usually by this time of year, I already had my first turkey down and I'm getting ready for number two, but hopefully this week. But I've been so busy with doing things and everything. Yeah. Be careful who you take the candy from. Make sure it's not a stranger. Yeah. Well, you guys can eat your candy in church. Just as you can drink coffee in this church, you can eat candy in this church. Because we love to eat and fellowship. Amen? They go hand in hand. Man, it's just an exciting time of year. You know, right after Halloween, we gear up for Thanksgiving. And then right after Thanksgiving, we're sprinting down to the finish line for the end of the year with Christmas and New Year's and the beginning. It's like, wow. I know, Laurie, you're probably done with your Christmas shopping already. Close, yeah. She's like, by Thanksgiving, she's always done every year. She wins. Yeah. She's just so on it. I mean, she's not one of those that you'll find in the stores on the 24th of December. But go ahead, eat your candy, drink your coffee, and enjoy this time. We're going to talk about the enemy today. And not because we want to glorify him or in any way. It's always good to kind of know your opponent, know what their tendencies are, just so that when stuff happens, we can understand it. We, you know, recently in our church, we've been, I don't know if it's you or you've been noticing it, we've been getting a lot of attacks on our members and our leaders. And if we didn't know any better, we wouldn't understand that was the enemy trying to stop us from doing what we are called to do. I mean, there's people with sicknesses, there's people with relationship problems, financial problems, and I mean, nobody's exempt from any of these things. And, you know, we get attacked all the time. And the enemy, if you know how the devil works, you can see his hand in the things that's going on, especially the attacks and stuff. And, you know, as I matured in the Lord, I could see stuff coming. You know, like how your conversations are going in one direction and you can kind of see ahead of time, this is not leading in the right direction. And I see that sometimes in my tone when I talk with my wife, and I can see the conversation headed towards a path where it's not good, that we're going to end up fighting, yelling, and not talking for days. And I can see that coming, so we stop, and before it gets to that point. And when you mature in the Lord, you can see these things happening. You know, before I became a follower of Christ, I could never see these things coming. And we would go down this path, and next thing you know, yelling and screaming, and man, I got holes in my drywall I gotta fix now, holes in my door I gotta fix now. I'm human now. Somebody who laughed, you must have holes in your wall. Yeah? Yeah. Kona is a drywall man, right there. He's hiding. But hey, I had to fix those holes. I had to go to other people's house to fix those holes because they got, and you know, that's what it is when we were younger and we were not as mature. We couldn't see these things happening. And you know, a lot of times they say that on Halloween that the enemy comes out and he tries to do things, and you know, people, you know, shouldn't celebrate and stuff like that. And I think, you know, on October 31st, if you want to pass out candy, you want to take your children trick-or-treating, it's okay, you know. We as a church do things to bring people here so we can get them off the streets so that we can glorify God. And today we're going to just look at some of the things, some of the tactics of the enemy so that we'll be more aware of what's going on. And sometimes, you know, people are not aware, so we're going to try and help to make things more clear. And we're going to begin by looking at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And it says, and even if our gospel is veiled, you know what a veil is, something that kind of blocks your vision, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In those whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So if you look at it, the gospel was being veiled by the God of this world. And if you notice, like I said before, the God in this scripture is a small g. So he's not talking about our Heavenly Father God. He's talking about the God of this world, which is the enemy, which is Satan. Okay? And for those of you who might not know, heaven and hell is for real. And like I said last week, and the wages of sin, it really is death. And so where there is a heaven, there is a hell, and the wages of sin is death. And our gospel is being blocked by the enemy to those who are unbelieving. They're perishing for those who are non-believers. Okay, so one of the things I like to do is whenever I try to go and share with somebody, I always like to pray that that veil would be removed so that we can see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Amen? So we'll stop right here, and we're going to pray that the veil be removed. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, if there is anyone here who is unbelieving, Lord, we pray that you would remove the veil so that they can see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, that they may see your glory and all the wonderful things that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's continue. The gospel was rejected by people who were unable and unwilling to accept it. You know those people. I ran into those people. I tried to share with those people, and they slam you, and they criticize you, and they tell you all kinds of things. They disbelieved and were sided in their unbelief by Satan, the God of this age, who, although he was defeated by Christ, he continues to hold over the present world his blinding of people's minds and kind of makes it impossible for them to see the light of the gospel. So we can see by the Bible that the devil is real. And the Bible calls him the God of this world. But notice that it is small g, it's not our God, our Father. The God of this world, Satan, he is not all-present like our Creator. He is not all-knowing. He is a created being, and he has limits. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to someone to devour. Okay? So, not just on October 31st he's roaming around, but he is always roaming around looking for those who are weak, who are wounded, who are all alone. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. See, God, the devil has a lot of power in this world. But we are of God. Amen? So how does the enemy work on us? How does he trick or treat us? What if I told you in that candy, well, that was X-Lax, not chocolate? That would be... What if I told you we put X-Lax in the coffee this morning and we locked all the bath? That would be a bad, deceptive trick, right? That would be terrible. Yeah? And I will scold Jaywin for doing that this morning. No, just kidding. He didn't do that. Nobody did that. But the coffee was extra strong this morning. Yeah? I think we needed you to be awake during this time. So here's number one, the enemy. He uses deception. He tries to deceive us. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay in the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one who is coming and is in accord with the activity of Satan. So he's talking about the Antichrist. With all power and signs and false wonders, he'll be able to do all these things. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Now, if you read the Bible, we all know that Jesus comes back on the clouds. And some people, if you look at the internet, some people claim to be Jesus. And a lot of people are following them. I don't know how they got here because I didn't see them coming on the clouds. This verse answers the question that might have been plaguing the Thessalonians and even modern day readers. How will this one man be so powerful? How will he attain such notoriety and loyalty from the masses? And this man will be Satan's tool. And he will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. So before the second coming of Christ, there will be lawlessness. And some say that this person is the Antichrist. And he will come and deceive many. You can see by watching the news, there's all kinds of bad things going on already. In Psalms 10:7, his mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. This is talking about the wickedness of wicked people. And we need to be on the alert. Because if we do not know what the Word of God says, we will be quick to be deceived and follow other things that might be occult, might be ungodly. So we have to guard against being deceived. Number two, intimidation. How many of you have ever been intimidated or even bullied? Man, if I was, 6 feet nine, 300 pounds, nobody would want to come and see me after service. But I'm 5 feet three and 140 something pounds. So you guys like to come. You guys like to come talk to me because when you look at me, I am not intimidating at all. Right? I come to terms and I come to enjoy my height because God made me short so that I'm not scary. Am I scary? I don't think so, huh? That's why my children don't listen to me. Yeah. But in 1 Samuel 17, 4 to 11, we see the Israelites being intimidated by Goliath. I mean, you all heard the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was 6 cubits and a span. So that's like 9 feet. Man, his head would be hitting the ceiling fan. If he did worship in here, he couldn't lift up his hands. The ceiling fan would clip off his fingers. I mean, he was 9 feet. He had a bronze helmet in his head. He was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels, 125 pounds. Man, that's more than some of you weigh. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, 15 pounds, which, you know, that's a lot. I mean, if I had to throw a spear the size of a beam with a 15-pound head, I'd drop it on my feet. Could you imagine trying to throw something like that? Let's just even carry it. I would carry it, and they would laugh like, yeah, what you going to do with that? Because they know I couldn't throw it. So this was a giant. I mean, he was huge. And he would come out every morning and taunt the Israelites. And they would all be afraid that no one could defeat him. He was intimidating them. And the enemy, that's what he does. Saul, King Saul, who was king at this time, and the Israelites were dismayed. They saw no man able to accept Goliath's challenge. Goliath was so big that the whole army of Israel was focused on Goliath and how big he was. And so they took their eyes off of their God and they looked at Goliath and said, like, wow, this guy is a giant. Don't let Satan intimidate you by making him look at your problems. You look at your sickness. It's like, oh man, I am sick. I am dying. I am hurting. And you concentrate on your sickness. And you take your eyes off of God. You look at your bills. And it's like, oh, it's so intimidating. It's a mountain of bills. And we're intimidated by our bills. So what do we do? Okay, I can do a quick deal. Sell some drugs. Do something illegal. Make some quick cash. Don't let the intimidation of the enemy make you take your focus off of your God. Because your God is bigger than all your enemies put together. Amen? Your God is bigger than that. So don't let him intimidate you. Don't let your boss intimidate you. How many of you ever been intimidated by your boss? How many of you bosses intimidate your people? Yeah, you better come to church on Sunday or else. Or you better do this. Or you better not talk about God. Yeah. Intimidation is what the devil will do to keep you from moving. What if I said, somebody, I point out on somebody, you go teach Sunday school. Oh, no way, I ain't going with their kids. They're spooky. Our kids are not spooky. Our kids are smart and you can't fool them though. But intimidation, if I ask you to come up here, stand next to me, keep me company, because when you guys look at me, I feel intimidated, man. Oh, so I got to stand behind here so I can hide. But don't let intimidation keep you from what God has called you to do. Amen? Maybe it's announcements. Maybe it's playing music or singing. Maybe it's watching children. Hey, the next one, ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Man, before I came to Christ, I was one of those ignorant ones, didn't know any better, you know, living carelessly, doing stupid things. complaining about money being given to the church. That was all done in ignorance. The Lord here in Hosea, the Lord held these leaders responsible for the people's lack of knowledge. That's why we encourage you to read through the Bible with us. The priests in particular had ignored their duty to communicate the law of God to the nation. So these guys would be punished. As a leader here, it is my responsibility to teach you God's ways, His desires for your life. You know, God wants to use you in an incredibly mighty way. He really does. He wants to use you to expand the kingdom. He wants to use you to save lives. He wants to use you to heal people, transform people. He wants you to be a godly mom and a godly dad. You know, what we do here on Sunday for like 20, 30 minutes is not enough. That's why we ask you to come to our Bible studies, to join our life groups, to read through the Bible, so that we cannot use ignorance as an excuse for not serving God. If you don't know the scriptures, then the devil will have an easy time. Because what the devil will do is he will pull scriptures out of context and put them in you. And he will say that the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart, whatever you want. Is that right? Not really, because you're taking it out of context. And the devil will do that. Okay? So, and then, number four, the devil will confuse you. You know, like, you will read the word, and like, I am confused. I do not understand. How many of you ever read the Bible and felt confused? Okay, maybe you guys reading the King James Version, because I get confused when I read that. You know, they say that the New International, the NIV or the NLT, those are like really, really easy to understand basic English Bibles. I love those versions. They say it's like about a fifth grade reading level. Amen, because I love it. You know, and that's true, because really, I'm not a really to comprehend stuff. You know, and that fifth grade reading level is perfect, because I understand it. When I go into the elementary schools and I teach junior achievement as a volunteer, I teach second grade. Because if it goes beyond that, they're smarter than me. I am not smarter than a second grader. Hey? So, man, if you are having a hard time understanding your Bible, get the NIV, get the NLT. And once you can understand it, then move up. Go to the New American Standard. But I tell you, don't let the confusion stop you from reading. In Acts 19, there was these guys who was they were silver, they were making silver stuff, silver images and stuff like that, and they were making a lot of money. And then when the disciples came and preached, you know, the people were turning away from those idols and worshiping God, and the silver guy's like, bro, we cannot let this happen. We cannot let this happen, because if they turned away from these idols and worship God, we'd be out of a job. Hey, they could have just made something else. But in Acts 19:23, about that time there arose a small disturbance concerning the way, you know, the Christians. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades and said, men, you know that our prosperity depends on this business. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but almost all of Asia, this Paul persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Well, kind of common sense, yeah? Do you think you could make a god with your hand? When something goes wrong, would you go pray to that god that you made with your hand? I mean, these are what the guys were doing. And not only is there danger in this trade of ours, fall into disrepute, but also the temple of the great god Artemis being regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship should even be dethroned from her magnificence. And when they heard this, they were filled with rage, and they began crying out, "Great is Artemis of Ephesus!" And the city was filled with confusion. You see the enemy's hand in this. He was trying to make everybody worship the idol instead of God. And they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. So they were all, this whole city was in confusion. And this is what happened. They were doing this for like a couple hours, yelling, "Great is Artemis." So then some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the majority did not know what reason they had come together. So they was all in this place, yelling and screaming. And after a couple of hours, like, "Why are we here? What are we yelling about? I don't know." The enemy got them to focus, to take their focus off of God and something else. We can see in Luke's writing here his sense of humor, because people don't know why they were there. And because the Jews, they worship only God and they strongly opposed to idols, they got Alexander to the front of the issue of this confusion. They were starting a riot, and they didn't even know why. How many of you ever got into a fight with your good friend, your spouse, and after a couple of hours, like, "What are we fighting about?" You ever had that happen to you? Go, I mean, only me. Okay. Maybe I'm the, yeah. Sometimes we'd fight, and the fight would go on, and after a day or so, because we don't know that we shouldn't let the sun go down on our anger. And what are we fighting about? I don't know. Yeah, in confusion. 1 Corinthians, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of saints." See, so if you're confused about something, understand that God doesn't confuse you. All right? It's the enemy that throws that confusion. So if you are confused about something you read in the Bible, ask the question. Send us an email. Say, "What does this mean when they did this and they did that?" Because the confusion will cause us to look other way. Number 5, doubt. Genesis 3:1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden.'" See, the serpent made Eve doubt what God had told her. You know, if you ever doubted about your salvation or about your sins, you know, we're doing class next week. We're going to start on those topics, 8:00. Man, if you ever doubt about your salvation, your security in Christ, check these classes out. We don't want you to doubt what you do here. The doubt that Satan puts in you, he tells you, "Who are you to serve? You have a bad past." How many of you ever was told that, "Oh, you can't sing? Only me." Yeah. Remember the time that I left my mic on and I was singing worship in the front row and nobody wanted to come tell me that my mic was on? They had to send my daughter to tell me, Dad, your mic is on. Okay. Had anybody told you, "You can't do this, you can't do that," made you doubt of your abilities? "You can't play basketball, you're too short." "I can try." Acts 12:14 and 15. this was going on. Peter was in prison, and the church was praying for him. And when the angel freed him, and he went, and Peter, he went back to the house, and he knocked at the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter was standing in the front gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was. And they kept saying, it is his angel. They were doubting. These guys were praying for Peter to be freed. He was freed. And when he showed up, they're like, "Nah, that's not him." How many of you pray and doubt? How many of you pray for healing and doubt? How many of you pray for your finances and doubt? Doubt is from the devil. And don't let doubt stop you. Amen? So here we come. Coming to the end. How to defend yourself? How do you defend yourself? You got to remember the greater power that is in you. Who lives in you? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, God. He lives in you. And you know from the Bible that God defeated Satan at the cross. The devil meant the cross to kill Jesus, but Jesus rose on the third day. 1 John 4:4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Remember that. Greater is the source of power that is in you than the devil who is in the world. You know, I always tell people here that here at New Hope East Hawaii, we are developing a reputation in hell. Because when we are coming, the devil best be running. We should be intimidating him. Amen. He should be afraid of us. Amen. Because greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Amen. Those who are against God, they're going to lose. And John reassured his readers that they belong to God. You belong to God. Sometimes we fall and weak and confused, but we need to be reminded to the faith so that because we already won. We already won. We just got to keep that wall. We had won over the devil. We have victory through Christ. Amen. I mean, we got it. We're set. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts, through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God." Paul prayed that God would grant us mighty inner strength. He prayed for us. God sent his Holy Spirit to be within his followers. After Christ returned to heaven, he left us the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit would comfort us. The Spirit would guide us in truth. In Romans 8:37, "But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us." All these things that our adversities, we would be, how's this word? overwhelmingly conquerors through him. Not just by a little itty bit, not just by the skin on our tails, man, but overwhelmingly we would defeat the enemy. Do you believe that, friends? Do you believe that? Say yes. Yes. Overwhelmingly. So we need to be aware of what the enemy does and how he does it. And we, more so, we need to remember that the power of the Holy Spirit that is in every one of us who said yes to Jesus Christ is overwhelmingly stronger than the devil. Amen? All right. We're going to have a special song right now. So you can put away your notes. Look at the words. Listen to the words. Meditate on it. And ask God, what is he saying to you this morning?